How many of you appreciate your church home? You're glad to be able to come out with your little children and know that this is your home and your church? Are you really glad to have a place to where you can come out and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Can you? A lot of good things that we could talk about in the Bible is it's just filled with good things. I think that perhaps most of us are by this time persuaded that this is by faith that we have salvation. I have tried to take my time in teaching it. I've tried to teach you the things that the gospel details as to what is of the law and what is of faith. And sometimes even with all of the things that the minister teaches in stressing certain points and magnifying certain things, amplifying thoughts of the scripture, still with that, a lot of times people still they don't quite understand the depths and strength of what the minister says. And I go back and I review things and I say different things to bring it back to your remembrance that you might understand better or that you might have a review. Now the question could arise, how powerful is the statement that Jesus made concerning faith, or the statement that was made, the just shall live by faith, as to the writer. That is to say, what pertains to faith as to justification, and what is it that does not pertain to faith as to justification, or how much is required of us as to believing? How far should we go with this believing? And how many things does it pertain to, or what does it pertain to? Or is there anything that it doesn't pertain to? How far does it go? Okay, I want to read you this little scripture here, and it tells you how far it goes. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. This is the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning at the 21st verse. Nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you see the broadness of the coverage. How far does it reach? It reaches so far that the entirety of your life and your activity depends upon faith. It is so broad that the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, anything, it doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what you do through life. It doesn't matter. It says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I could start from here to go off to visit with my mother if she was alive, or my father, or go to visit with one of my children. And if I couldn't do that in faith, it would be sin. I could sit down and I could have a meal that would be fit for a king, but if I could not eat it in faith, it would be sin. I would actually be sinning against God, and I would actually die and go to hell sitting and eating a meal. Can you imagine that? Oh, somebody says, you're crazy, Brother Pike. It couldn't be. It's absolutely that way. It's absolutely that way. You say, where do you get that? I read it to you here. It says here that, for meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. He goes right down here And he says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. He is damned if he eat. Think about that now. That's pretty strong talk. If you can't eat in faith, then you're damned if you eat. So this is why it is so necessary for you to have a heart of faith. God despises the heart of unbelief to the extent that he will not even allow that person to eat before him and be justified even in eating a meal with a heart of unbelief. The man is damned if he sits down to eat. It don't matter what it is, he's damned if he eats, if he can't eat in faith. And the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, the Bible said, is there nothing pure? And even his conscience is defiled. So then we see what a broad coverage this is. It lets us know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It doesn't matter what you do, where you go, what you say. It doesn't matter if it's eating, if it's drinking, if it's visiting, if it's riding, if it's making money, if it's buying, if it's selling, if it's giving, if it's receiving, whatever it is. If it's not of faith, it is sin. Because everything is sinned except faith. God has changed the entirety of the system of the world at Calvary. The whole flow of the entire world is sin. There is not one thing in the entire world, including humanity, that is clean. There is not one baby that's born into the world that's clean. There is not one man that's clean. There is not one woman that's clean. The Bible said all of them are unclean, and all of them have turned to their own way, and all of them have done their own thing. Everyone has run to his own house and let the house of the Lord lay waste. And the Bible says that all of them are altogether unclean. Even their throats are like an open sepulchre. And the Bible teaches that there is only one thing that was found clean in the sight of God, and that was Jesus Christ, the Great Spirit. And even the Lord Jesus testified as being the Word made flesh. He said, there is none good except God. There is no one that's good except God. When they said, good master, he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. So then there's none clean, there's none good, there's none right except God. And to whomsoever God imputeth righteousness by faith to. God doth not... He doth not impute righteousness unto you as by works. It doesn't matter how much you work. He doesn't impute righteousness unto you by works. But it is unto you by faith. It is by faith. I remind you again of this, that Jacob and Esau, the children not as of yet being born, and it was said, Jacob I love and Esau have I hated, said the children having done no good nor evil. So it isn't based on good or evil as to what you think to be evil. It's not based on good or evil. It said having done no good or evil, God made his choice. See, it's based on faith in the righteousness of the Son of God. So then faith is imputed unto us as righteousness. Someone would say, well, that means that everybody can just go around believing. Now, I tell you again that mere believing is not faith. You can try to believe all you want to. People that join churches, people that belong to great organizations believe. See, people believe. There are people that have businesses that know nothing about God that believe. And the devil's as evil as he can be. He's evil itself. And yet he believes. See, so that's not faith. Mere believing is not faith. If mere believing was faith, then the devil would be justified just the same as you are. Because God is without respect to person. So then that means that mere believing is not faith. But as Brother Taylor said, we've made the statement in the past that faith is the result of service to God. So then faith is something that comes out of the heart. Believing is in your head. And you can be prompt to believing just by your human senses. You've got five human senses that records the things that are around you and that records the world. I say again that if you got rid of your senses, you would not have anything to record the world. If I lost one of my eyes, I would lose part of the world. If I lost two of my eyes, I would lose another part of the world. That is the second eye. If I lost my hearing, I would lose another part of the world. If I lost my taste, I would lose another part of the world. If I lost my smelling, I would lose another part of the world. And then the last human sense is my feeling. If I lost my feeling, I would be completely dead and cut off from the world. So then the world consists of but one thing, and that is human feeling, human sight, human hearing, human taste. When I say that, it's still mere human feeling, because I hear by nerves. I see by nerves. I've said that there's conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. I see by nerves, that is by feeling. I hear by nerves, which is feeling. My touch is by feeling. My taste is by feeling, and my smell is by nerves or feeling. So then what is the world? The world is nothing but a lying vanity. How do you understand what I'm saying? The world is nothing but a lying vanity. The entire world is straying off my thoughts just a little bit as to the theme of my thought. But I want to make a point here. See, the world is nothing but vanity. It's vanity of vanities. So you that are in the world of vanity, or that have caught, you that are caught in this web of vanity, to you, you esteem the world. And to you, everything that you esteem is in the world. And you are of the world. And the world is in you, and you are in the world. See, but when you get right down to what the world calls the nitty-gritty of the thing, you find out that the world really isn't there. It doesn't really exist. It's just a lying vanity. And the only thing that there is as pertaining to the world is just your human sensation as to feeling and seeing and hearing and tasting. And when that is gone, there is no world. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, that man is dead, Achunda. And he's in the grave, and I'm still here, and the world's still here. That's one way to look at it. Then there's another way to look at it. The man is dead and in the grave, and the world is no more to him. That's the end of the world. And the only reason that you see and know of the world is because you are still in the condition that he was in before he went away. And you're still going through the lying vanities that he went through. And you're still seized by this thing of the world being within your heart, which is only thoughts that's projected to your mind. And I brought this out a number of times. If that isn't true, I ask the question again. Why did Jesus walk through the wall? How did he walk through the wall? Somebody said, well, he was a spirit. The Bible says, when they said he is a spirit, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. How did he walk through the walls? See, how did he walk through the walls? You understand what I'm saying? He walked through the walls and then ascended to the Father as to become the quickening spirit. He come up out of the grave just like he went in the grave. If he did not come up out of the grave the same way that he went into the grave as flesh and bones, then the Bible is a fantasy. It is not true, because that would not be a true resurrection. To have a true resurrection, if you put a man in the grave, you've got to take him out of the grave the same way. He's got to come out of the grave the same way, or it isn't a true resurrection. He said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have, but he walked through the wall. How did he walk through the wall? Because the world is vanity. All is vanity. The preacher said vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And all is vexation of my spirit. So then, is there a world? There is a world of lying vanities. It is the world of lying vanities, and Satan is the prince of this world, and that's how the world came to be. It's because Satan, who is the father of a lie, that observes vanities because he's cut off from the heavenly source of true things. He is a mere reflector of those things, so the world is a mere reflector. It is his kingdom, it is his world, and whosoever is deceived by it is part of his regime. And they're under the inspiration of his doings, for he is a liar and the father of a lie. And everything in the world is vanity of vanities, vexation of the spirit. So then, I'm glad that I came to know that there is a world of faith. When you think of me, and when you think of the children of God, that is you that are not people of God, you think of them as being just a little bit disturbed in their minds. Or maybe they're a little on the eccentric side of life. See, and you think of them as being mentally unbalanced, and a lot of times you think they ought to see a psychiatrist so that they can keep their balance. Let me tell you something. They're the only ones that are balanced. All of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. The rest of the world is unbalanced. They're unbalanced. See, they that are in the world, they look at the children of God as though that they are feeble in their understanding and that they're foolish and unwise. But in all reality, they are the ones that's feeble and foolish and unwise. And the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he receive them because they are spiritually discerned. But the things of God, they're not foolishness to us. So that I'm glad that I'm an individual of faith. They that are born of God are individuals of faith. And faith is the true world. Not an observation as to seeing by feeling and human sensation. But that which is of faith. For there is a real, existing, eternal abode. Or a place that is of faith, that is built by faith. It came into existence by faith, and it will last eternally. And the Bible said all things are by him, they're for him, they're of him. These things of God which are by faith. And the Bible said the world was created by faith. All of the world, as to what it was at the garden, or the condition when it was not a lying vanity, God brought it into the world. He brought it into the world. Someone would say, well, what kind of world was that, Brother Pike? Or he brought it into existence. Said, what kind of world was that? Well, there's one thing about it. When we speak of Eve eating of the forbidden fruit, the Bible said it was a tree of knowledge. And I've made the statement a lot of times, when you speak of a tree of knowledge, as of today, there hasn't been any scientific discovery of any trees that's bearing knowledge. Did you know of any of them? I haven't seen any of them around him. I travel all over the world. I haven't seen any trees bearing knowledge. And the other tree that the Bible spoke of being there was the tree of life. I haven't found any of those either. So then that means there was something spiritual about that world. There was something connected with the spirit, even though man was made out of the dust. And even though his frame was made out of the dust, he was made in the image of God. And there was something about that was special as to an illumination from God. There was a spiritual illumination of that wonderful, glorious image of God. Now then you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that there's any trees of life in the earth or any trees of knowledge in the earth? There certainly is. But not as to a scientific definition or discovery. There are trees of life in the earth that I have found, spiritually speaking. And those trees of life are the sons of God and the daughters of God. And Jesus referred to himself as a tree. And he said, if they do this in a green tree, which is a living tree, a tree of life. For the Bible said the trees of God are full of sap. He said, what will they do in a dry tree? And as to this tree, as to the tree of life, your fruits of the Spirit are there for people to feed from, that they may have life and have it abundantly, as to eternal life. So then there is the tree of life. Not as to trees of life, but as to the tree of life, one tree of life, even the Lord Jesus. You're the body members in particular, and he's the head, as to the head of the church, which means the tree of life. And then there is the tree of death, the tree of knowledge, which is the old educational system out yonder. Of those, the Bible says, that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is the way of death. For to be carnally minded is death. To eat of that tree is death. The Bible said the day that you eat of that tree, that's the day that you surely die. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you say as to all of them people that's been eating of it and then come to God? I say that all of them people that was eating of it that come to God, there was no such. There never has been any of those kind of people. You can only partake of the knowledge when you come to understanding. But the Bible said once you have come to the knowledge of the truth, after that you can eat. You can eat then of the tree of knowledge because you've come to knowledge. And they that were out there were but babes that knew nothing. They were babes that knew nothing, and they are still babes that know nothing. That is to say, those that are caught out there that are the predestinated of God and the elect of God. And they're not partaking of the tree of knowledge. They're not out there. The Bible said concerning the prodigal, he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and that Jesus referred to them as swines and dogs. But he came to his senses before he did that. And then he came to the Father's house and he found food plentiful. So then we find that there is a tree of life in the earth, and there is a tree of knowledge in the earth, in that they are also one unit that will head up in the headship of the beast. And there is a tree of knowledge, and to be carnally minded is death. Once you come to the knowledge of God, and then you reject the knowledge of God, you have eaten of the tree of death. When Eve came to know what God had told her, in that he said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. From that time that she ate, she knew she died. So then it is so with you. If you come to the knowledge of the Word of God and the understanding of God, and then after that you turn and go back into the things of the world, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. Now someone would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, of people that have come to church for 6 months and been in the world 3 months, or they've been in the church 3 years and back out in the world 5 years, and they come back for 2 years and went back for another year, and now they're back in there serving God full time. You don't know of anybody like that, because there is no such people as that. You say, you mean to tell me that I don't know? When I do know, I mean to tell you that you've been deceived. I said this a lot of times, and I say it again. The Bible said if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. And coming back in and going back out is just the routine of the devil, where he uses them to reproach what God's doing. People that love God, and people that come to God, and people that are born again of God, they stay with God. They stay with God all the time. They don't ever go back out into the world. Oh, somebody says, I know better than that. No, you don't know any better. You're just having a brainstorm of what you conceived of in your mind and what you think. They don't ever go back out into the world. See, if they went back out into the world, then they would sin against God. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. How could they go back out into the world? See, in the first place, it would be utterly impossible for them to do that. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean this. The Bible said that ye are not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Then how do you get back into the world? Somebody needs to explain to me how you get back into the world. If God's chosen you out of the world and you're not of the world, because he's chosen you out of the world, and he's hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. Tell me, how did you get back into the world? And when you got back into the world, how did you get out of the world again to get back into heaven? God doesn't play games, folks. And another thing I need you to explain to me, if your theory is true, how is it that you are born again and all of a sudden you're unborn, and then you come back and you're born again, and then you're unborn again, and you come back and you're born again? How did you do that? To me, that's one of the greatest mysteries that you could ever tell me about. You'd have to explain that to me, because that is so mysterious, I could never understand it unless something happened. Have you ever in your life, at any time, anywhere, with any race, creed, or color, seen a baby that was born and then he was unborn and he was reborn and he was unborn? Even Nicodemus, he had more sense than that. When Jesus said, you must be born again, he said, can I enter into my mother's womb the second time and be reborn? That was a great mystery to him. He couldn't understand that. See, he didn't understand spiritual things. So even he knew better than that. When and where have you ever seen anybody that was born again and been unborn? And see, you don't go back into the world. You can't get into the world, because you're chosen out of the world. The Bible said you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Come on, folks, let's give the Lord up. You know, you're supposed to stop me if I'm going down the wrong trail. If I'm not, you're supposed to listen. So then we are preaching a gospel that is a permanent gospel, a perfect gospel, an unwavering gospel, an everlasting gospel, a gospel that's once and for all, that when you are born again of God, then that ends it. You are once and for eternally a child of God, a son of God, to never be anything else. Can a son of God sin? The Bible said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. Can a son of God sin? The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. That stands to reason. He that is born of God is the seed of God. He's the lineage of God. He's the son of God. How could he then sin? Did you know that even in the garden, Adam is called the son of God by the act of creation? And did you know that according to the Bible, he was not found in the transgression as being found or called the son of God? So then we see that the sons of God cannot sin. The daughters of God cannot sin. You are born of God. I say again, if you are born of an elephant, then are you an elephant? That is an elephant. That is born of an elephant. He's, of course, an elephant. Good common sense tells us that. If you're born of a man, then are you a man? You're not a monkey. You're a man. I know. You know, I know, we was talking about the other day, I know, to this ever-evolving world, this world of evolution, I know, you evolve from a tadpole, you know, to a frog and to a chimpanzee. And, you know, you come out, when you leave your monkey stage, then you're a man. Now, I know that. But the thing is, that's theory. I'm talking about facts. I didn't go through the school of theology, so I'm not concerned about theory. And I've said a lot of times, I don't see why people want to take theories when they got facts. I've got scriptural facts, historical facts. These have been proven down to the year through the years. I've been to the Holy Land. I've been to the tomb. I've been to the places where these things took place. I know the history of them. That's written in man's history as well as biblical history here. You understand what I'm saying? And according to what God has said, we were discussing this the other day. We spoke of this in the past. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. That's why I don't believe in crossbreeding. I don't believe in half-breeding. I believe that's confusion. I believe it's not right with God. It's not God's way. Though man does it. He does that. He hybrids. But the thing is, that's not right. For every seed is supposed to reproduce after its kind. There's nothing said about something jumping from a tadpole, to a chimpanzee, or to a baboon. There's no recordings like that. And the only thing that you find all that in the world is when you find man hibernating. He'll take and hibernate. It's true. But you can take a limb off of a lemon tree and put it into an orange tree, or that off of an orange tree and put it into a lemon tree and it'll bear. It's true that it will do that because it is a citrus plant. It will do that. Just like the rain comes on the just and the unjust, the tare, it has a revival just as much as the wheat. But there's one thing about it, the yielding of the fruit's different. It doesn't matter if you do put that lemon limb on an orange tree. It isn't going to bear any oranges. It's going to bear according to its nature. It'll use the same citrus life, but when it bears, it'll come out with lemons, while the rest of the limbs will come out with oranges. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, it is the divine ordination of God that things like that, it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to come out the same way because that's what God ordained that it should be. So then we can see here there's something that mankind has missed. But we as the people of God and the children of God, we've not missed this. We've not lost this. This great, wonderful thing, we see it. Now you might say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm just saying this. If you are a mere man, if you are a mere woman, then you are reproducing after your kind. I don't care how much you get mixed up with races, creeds, or colors. It doesn't matter. You're still a beast. That's all that you are. You are a beast. And you are reproducing after your kind. But see, beloved friend, if I am a son of God, or if you are a son of God, you can never reproduce after the beast kind because you are not a beast. You are reproducing after the God kind. You are born of God. And in that you're born of God, it's God reproducing after His kind. And these, of course, are those that are sons and daughters of God. The Bible said this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. How then can you be in and then be out? It wasn't given to you on the basis of good and evil. For the children as to Esau and Jacob having done no good nor evil, the Bible said that the righteousness and the plan of God, the word of God, that it should stand as of to whom God calleth. It was said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The children never yet been born having done no good or evil. So then you can see that this is a predestinated thing of God. But we do preach that you should turn away from evil, that you should not be partakers of that. You know, someone would say, well, how could that be, Brother Pike, that I would be partakers of the evil? Well, it's easy to explain. We used to raise some hogs down here. All I had to do was go down there and eat out of the slop hole, and I'd be partakers of the slop. Let's give the Lord a hand. That makes it easy, don't it? Now, did that make me a pig? No, but I'd be acting like a pig. The Bible said that the son would have filled his belly with the husk. There's one thing about it. I might get so hungry, I'd be starving to death, and I might see some husk, and I might jump over and take me a bite of it. Anybody might do that. Isn't that right? I know of them where they ate bark off of the trees or anything that they could get. Isn't that right? But that wouldn't make me a pig. But there's one thing about it. If I had plenty of food around to eat, and I always went down to eat with the pigs, it wouldn't make no difference if I looked like a man or a monkey. I'd still be a pig. You understand what I'm saying? Because I would have a nature somewhere that I'd picked up, which was a pig nature. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he picked up the satanic nature. See, and he said of Judas, thou art a devil. Because he had a satanic nature. If you let a nature come on the inside of you as to whatever that nature is, that's your kind. I have the nature of God. The Bible said we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am bone of his bone and I am flesh of his flesh because of nature. reproduces after its kind, the seed after its kind. I have the nature of God, so I'm reproduced as part of God. So then I am a son of God. You love the Lord? I am a son of God. And that's why that I preach a world of faith. That which is not of faith is sin. That is to say, they that are in the world do not have faith. Though they believe, they do not have faith. They do whatever they do by believing. Satan does whatever he does by believing. All of the world functions by believing. But it isn't faith. Because when a man hath faith, that means he is a son of God. And if he is a son of God, he is of another world. He is of another nature. He is another, of another seed. He's reproducing after his kind. So then I am a child of faith. And therefore God has said thus, that justification is by faith. Oh, that is to say, this is the proof of them that are the eternal breed. As it would say, you had a herd of cattle, you would tag them in the ear as to a blood tag. Or you would take one over here as from this ranch as to a brand on one side, one over here as a brand to another side. Now, there would be a difference. There would be a difference. This would be from this ranch, this would be from this ranch. Isn't that right? But all of them would be of the same thing as to breed in that there were cattle. Isn't that right? But there could be a difference in the bloodline. There could be a definite difference in the bloodline. One could be of one blood, and this one could be of another blood as to the stretched out lineage, even though the Bible said God hath made all men of one blood. Somebody would come, they'd come right back with that, and they'd say, but Brother Pipe, the Bible said all men of one blood. I know that. But I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about the difference between man and God. I'm talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was a created blood cell in the womb of Mary that brought forth the Son of God. And the difference between that blood lineage and the blood that came from Adam as to being the beast that in man, in Adam, all die. But as in Christ, all are made alive, in that the blood is, the life is in the blood. So then we see, as it is said, that when the Bible said, and the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall bruise the heel of her seed. I say again, the heel is reckoned for as the part near the soul. Your body is of dust. Your body is the heel part. Everything as to life rests upon that. God breathed the breath of life into man and he become a living soul. So when the serpent's striking, he's not striking at the heel. He's striking at the soul, but he can't get to it, so he hits the heel. See, he is striking at your soul, but what he does, he hits the body because he can't get past the body. If Jesus seals him out, see, the soul that sinned shall surely die. So all of your life and eternity rests upon the fact that God gave you a soul. You understand what I'm saying? But when it says the seed of the woman, what was it saying? It was saying Christ. Everything all the way down to Calvary. And not anything could be perfected. Not anybody. Daniel, Abraham, John. No one could be perfected. But now comes Calvary. And just as Jesus comes in, here comes this blood, the blood atonement. Remember now, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. I'm baptized in the name of Jesus for what reason? Why is it the Bible said there is none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved, and remission of sin shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth? Why does the Bible say that? Why does it say that there's remission of sin in none other name? Because it is Jesus that spilt the blood. And there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And it was his blood that was shed. So then it's his name that makes you eligible for the blood, or makes you relate to the blood that remits your sins. So then we see the seed of the woman as to Jesus. And when Jesus came, Adam being a living soul, the second man Adam, Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. So he brought in a world of faith. He become the perfect seed. And the promise unto one, even Isaac. That is to say, unto the Lord Jesus. And with that, I preach to you how that he went down into the heart of the earth and made those in the heart of the earth perfect by making them relative to his blood and by giving them his name and by giving them, as according to the book of Revelation, as the seal was opened, giving them a garment of righteousness in that they put on the Lord Jesus Christ as to his own body. Flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. So that is to say, the angelic man on the inside found another body, for his body was dead beyond the law and in sin. And the body was dead because of sin, and now he's found a new body. He's found a body and bone of the resurrected one of the Son of God that's spotless, that does not have any sin. It would take all night long to go into the revelation of this, because it goes back to what the Bible says concerning the Jews, and unto them pertaineth the glory and the adoption and the covenant and the commandments of the Lord, which has to do with the body. But anyway, just getting on here with our thought. So then, that which is not of faith is sin. The true sons of God can be identified by what? By faith. These are the predestinated. And the way you recognize them is by faith. Because the Bible said all men have not faith. It's only to the elect. They are the ones that have faith. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a laity, woman, man, whatever, neither male nor female in Christ. See, it doesn't matter. It can be a preacher. And he can believe and he can just preach. We say like a house on fire, and he can get up there and get anointed. You can just feel the anointing of God. Feel God moving, and that man won't have nothing. He just got in the presence of God. Because of his believing, he can be a devil. But the Bible said that a man that's of the world can get up and transformate in his mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. He could get up and transform his mind from his old, ugly, degraded thinking and gullible desires of the world. Being a Bible scholar, he can study this and transform his mind to this and get up and start talking about this. And the anointing and the Spirit of God will come as people begin to believe. Because the rain is on the just and the unjust, because the blood is on the seat of atonement at this time. And the Bible said, don't marvel because they can transform themselves into ministers of light, though they're in darkness as to their mind. But by grace, transform their minds into ministers of the word, which is light. Don't marvel at that. Said for even Lucifer himself, he has transformed himself into an angel of light. That is, he quoted the scripture to Jesus. Being a spirit, he can appear to you in a scriptural form. He can appear to you and say, it is written, I'm an angel from God. He's not lying. All angels were created by God. He wasn't lying, or he wouldn't be lying to the extent he was created by God. But he would be lying to the extent that he is not now in the presence of God. Only in the sense of the blood atonement as to grace. See, that is to say, he would be a lying spirit, as it was said over there in one place, I'll go down, the Spirit said, and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. So then that means that Satan himself is a religious spirit. And preachers everywhere, different preachers, have that lying spirit, which are not true preachers of righteousness, or them that are called of God. So then I'm saying to you that this thing is a very close thing. You can't tell it by looking at people. You can't tell it by them shouting, by them having religious experience, by them feeling the presence of God, for the rain is on the unjust. See, and when rain falls on you, you can feel it. But the difference is they are feeling a sensation as to their nerve effect. They're feeling a sensation as to their human senses. But they do not have the indwelling of the Spirit, as to the overflowing of righteousness, as to the constraint of the nature of Christ. They are not partakers of the divine nature, so their fruits will be according to their nature. Though religious, maybe entertain you, preach to you, do anything and then walk right out of your presence, and their nature will cause them to be liars and cheats and fornicators and whatever. Let's go back. I had a man that come here. He come here. He preached. He walked up and down here. He screamed. He hollered. He perspired. You could see him in his demonstration. Follow him. And it was like a burning building. But on the inside, it was different altogether. Walked right out of the presence of this, went right over there, committed harlotry, left his wife, took a woman, become a drunkard's with her today. Let's give the Lord a hand. See, I'm telling you, this thing is so close, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Why then are we to recognize one another by faith? Because the only entrance into glory is by faith. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To the extent if thou canst believe in thine heart and then confess with your mouth to show that it is in your heart. See, by their fruits ye shall know them. Because their fruits will be according to their nature. And the Bible says that the child is known by his doings. So then we watch his doings. We analyze his doings. That way we can differentiate properly. Isn't that right? We can differentiate properly. It's like Israel. Look at Israel. Look at the Jew. What's wrong with the Jew? I've been over there numbers of times. What's wrong with him? The Bible says that God has given him the spirit of slumber. He is asleep. He is asleep. The Jews are asleep. God has given him the spirit of slumber. And he is reckoned as the dead. That's why Paul said in the Revelation, if the casting away of the Jews be the spirit of slumber. That is, as to the spirit of slumber, that it might be the reconciling of the world, the grace of God going to the world. That is to say, the dead body that releases the spirit. And the Spirit going back to God who gave it that God might bless it. That is to say, the people of the Gentiles that come into the church age representing the spiritual part and the Jew representing the body part. If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? That is to say, when the Jews went away, they're dead in God's presence. He calls that sleep. Lazarus is asleep. I go to awake him. So then they are asleep. And you're supposed to be those that are awake because you're the spiritual Jew, the true Jew. And it is when Israel comes in that God will resurrect the dead out of the ground because that's what it has to do with. All right, so then to sum it up by saying this one thing. See, there is faith. Will I then be recognized by good works or evil works? Or will I then be recognized by any other thing in the earth other than faith? I cannot be recognized by anything but faith. Because sometimes evil people will do things that seemingly are good. For the world loveth its own, and the world ministers one to another. If a man comes and brings a thirsty man a glass of water, and gives him drink, or he sets food before him, or he gives him a job that he can have food to take care of his family. What are we going to call that? Can we then say they are Christians? No. Even if they do it to the bridegroom or the bride, for the Bible said there are friends of the bridegroom, there are children of the bride chamber. So then it is a thing of faith. God is simply saying that this is a foreknowledge work. A predestinated thing. It is my mind. All of it is my mind. And I'm just making my mind manifest in the human body that will allow this mind to be in them. And this mind is a word of spirit and life. And I've already foreseen, looked down through the telescope of time, and seen who will receive this and who will not receive this. And those that I saw would receive that. I've sealed them with my blood, even the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I have sealed these, and these are mine. And when it comes to pass as to the season, I will reveal this to them And they will recognize their sonship, because by my full knowledge as unto election, these are mine. And my spirit will come into them and will seal them until the change of their body. And the recognition of these that are in the earth is by faith. For he that believeth, the Bible said, he that believeth. So then if he that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. And he that believeth not, speaking of faith now, he shall be damned. So then the Bible said, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves a man, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by faith of Jesus Christ, the faith by which we're sanctified. So then, the difference is human faith as to believing in what is termed as faith, or that is believing, and then faith, which is real, genuine faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, which comes to the elect as to sanctify them. For the Bible said, contend for the faith that was delivered unto the saints. And the Bible says, Paul speaking of it, having been shut up under the law, and that is tutorous, to bring us unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed, even the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. So then we see this is a great, wonderful thing that God has done, and again, a great mystery as all of the other things, but we are those that come to recognition by faith. All that is not of faith is sin. All of the world is vanity. All of the world is a defiled thing. Everything is defiled. Everybody that's in it is defiled. There's nothing in it that's good. There's nothing in it that's clean. All is unclean. All is defiled. Man and everything, his habitation, everything. But in God, there's sanctification and there's cleanliness. In the world of faith, there's purity, because he's done it all for you. He's done it all for you. And if you are a creature, as to that of the world of faith, as to the inside, the angelic being in the world of faith, then ye are the pure in heart. Ye are the holy, and ye are the godly. Though you're numbered with the beast, as to your human body, yet there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change, because on the inside there's a different life, there's a different man. The inner man, the second man from heaven, there is a nature unto godliness and righteousness, and God is picking them up by the word. Wherever the word goes, faith by the hearing of the word, then they come forth. And they're translated by faith, as Enoch was, into the marvelous kingdom of God. Even now, they are the sons of God. All right, let's give the Lord another hand. Let's everybody stand together. We could go on and go on speaking of this great, wonderful world. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Glad tidings of great joy. There are those that are children of faith, which are children of faithful Abraham. There are they that are children of light, that the day of evil will not overtake them. For they are children of light. So then I ask again, am I then right or am I wrong? Can you be born and unborn? Can you go into heaven and be there one day and be back out in the world the next day? Can you sin today and be holy and godly tomorrow? Can you? There's no way. You're either in or you're out. Now, you might be a believer coming to church. You might just be starting toward the things of God to the extent that you are a believer. And it's up to you to go on and receive salvation as to your proof of electionship. Or the Bible said to make your calling and election sure. By doing these things, then you can never fall. Because if you produce the fruits of the Spirit, it proves that you are elect, that you have the nature of God. But just being believer and the stage of the believing, it's like the stages of the worm. You cannot tell the difference as to what is the butterfly. But at the time of the metamorphosis and the inner part, as to that which is the butterfly comes forth, He'll leave the cocoon, and when he leaves the cocoon, then you know there's a difference between those worms, because one of them will continue to be a worm. And this is the thing as to truth. When you come to the Word of God, and you come to the anointing of God, and you come to the understanding of God, though the rain and the grace of God is on the just and the unjust. But the proof is when you start through a change, when the Word of God becomes spirit and life to you, and not an intellectual indoctrination as to a knowledge unto death. But it takes you through the stages of the metamorphosis to bring the heavenly creature out of the cocoon of the worm in which it has been imprisoned, as from, we say, the fall of the garden as to speaking spiritually as to mankind. Thy worm, Jacob, I will help thee, Jesus said. Okay, let's sing together. So then the question arises tonight, are you then a worm? A worm, that means the serpent. The serpent. He's referred to as the serpent or the worm. That is, are you the image of the bastard child? Are you the generation of the worm? Or that is the generation of vipers, that is to say the snake? Are you? Your identity is altogether by faith. For by faith, God purifies the heart. And righteousness is placed in your heart by faith. Why is this? Because you already are righteous. You already are godly. You already are holy by foreknowledge. You're already His elect. And faith is just the revealing of your identity. That is to say, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to you, because that's your proof of sonship. You are then in the world of that where all things are possible. That's your proof of it. If thou canst believe, it proves your sonship. For to as many as believe, to them gave He power, even the infilling of His Spirit, to become the sons of God. That is to change your body from the cocoon as to the worm condition into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, the eternal sons of God. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Many things we'd have to say to help you to fathom this, as to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful thing. For great is the mystery of godliness. And Jesus said, it is not given unto them as to the worm to understand the mysteries, but unto you it is given. And at the sounding of the last trump, they'll be finished, that the church may receive this metamorphosis as to the change of going through the mysteries. And this is why you see so many ministers. They'll run to and fro and preach healing and shout, holler and talk about God and Jesus, and just have the biggest kind of time and collect money and just go and just won't live right, won't do right, mixed up, messed up all the time. And this is why you see them do that. If you'll talk to them, you'll find out they know nothing about the revelation of the Son of God as to the mysteries. They know nothing about it, because the hidden manner, which means that which is hidden, the mysteries, are only given to them that overcome. And to them that overcome, the Bible said, that is they that is to the inward man, overcoming the outer man as to the cocoon. So I will give of him that overcometh, I'll give to him to eat of the hidden manna. I sing, are you ready? You raise your hand. I say, are you ready? And you raise your hand. Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? The child is known by his doings. Someone would say, well, here we go again with the doings, Brother Pike. It must be that the doings is what's going to save us. No. It's what saved us that caused us to have the doings. Let's give the Lord a hand. It's the nature of the tree that brought forth the fruits according to its nature. So then we love the Lord with all of our heart. Isn't that right? So we sing this song, I Love Him. I love him, see him. I love him all because that he first loved me, and he
where the bright and shiny crown. battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Lord, I cannot find my way without you. Precious Savior, look down from your throne and make your light to shine all about me. For I cannot find my way alone. Can you sing it with me? For I cannot find my way, Lord, without you. Precious Jesus, look down from your throne and make your light to shine all about me. For I cannot. Can you sing that with me? Man can't find his way by himself. So I cannot find my way, Lord, without you. Precious Savior, look down from your throne and make your precious light to shine about me. For I cannot. Can you sing it one more time with me? I can't do it, folks. I have to have Jesus. For I cannot find my way, Lord, without you. Precious Savior, look down from your throne and make your light to shine all about me. For I cannot find my way alone. Oh, I cannot find my way, Lord, without precious Savior. Look down from your throne and make your precious light to shine around. For I cannot find my way alone. Can you lift your hands with me? Just a little exhortation tonight to let you know that Jesus loves you, that he's with you, and you are children of faith. Why should you then worry? If you are a child of faith, all things are possible unto you. But you would say, well, I don't know whether I am or not, Brother Pike. Then what are you doing here? What has brought you here? What has given you the desire to be here? Why are you standing with your hands lifted up? Would you be doing that if you was not a child that believed? We're here because we believe. We believe to see. We believe. We believe that we are the sons of God. Now, beloved, you are the sons of God. Don't that do something to you? It does something to me. Some of you, it seems not to affect you. You know, it's like it is a saying, Brother Pike, that is a beautiful saying. That is a beautiful saying. But folks, this is more than a saying. I am a son of God. Someone said, well, so what? So what? That means I own all things. That means I cannot die. That means I have eternal health, eternal happiness, eternal youth, eternal splendor, eternal glory, eternal magnificence. These things confound people. When you really believe this, you know, to try to believe this is one thing. You may not get a reaction. But to really, truthfully, confidently, be positively sure, without a question in your heart, that you are the predestinated Son of God. Folks, it's no wonder the Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith. It's no wonder that we will be translated. We have faith. We're children of the resurrection. Faith translates you. To believe like this, why, your body couldn't do anything but translate. The more you come to understand, the more you come to know, my, what will it do to you? Because the words are spirit and life, and everything that is taught you releases an innermost activation of spirit that transformates your mind and translates your body as well as your spirit. It transfigures your body into bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. For in God's predestination is the foreknowledge. He already sees you as a finished product as to the change of the body, the celestial, just like he saw you before you was ever born into the world, as the sonship as of now. And where were you, Job? The Bible said when the sons of God leap for joy before the world ever was. How did the sons of God leap for joy before the world ever was? Because they were before the world. They were in the foreknowledge of God. Already sons of God. He was in his foreknowledge looking at them. Shout and praise God. He saw them. So, like the Jews said to Jesus one time, we know Messiah cometh, the son of David. Jesus. He confounded them. And he referred back to the scripture. He said, if he be the son of David, as to the Messiah that is to come. Why is it then that in spirit, David calleth him Lord? As he said, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit here on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And they were confounded. They were scholars. They were confounded. They couldn't understand it. Here David was. They was expecting his son to come and sit on the throne, which that happened to Solomon. And happen as to the lineage. The lineage coming down through Cornelius. It was cut off because of corruption. Then came Nathan. And down to the woman it came, as to the seed of the woman. Why? So that it would not be unnatural as to the seed of man. Because all flesh had corrupted their way before God. Cornelius just brought it out in the open to where God would have reason to stop it. But as to Nathan, as to the woman, there came that perfect seed which was given from God as to the seed of the woman. So corruption could not inherit incorruption, neither can it today. Folks, you're going to have to get out of the flesh. It takes spirit to inherit spirit. This is a spiritual kingdom. All of the ritualistics of the world as to natural people will never inherit this. God stopped it. For all flesh is corrupt in his sight. But as to the seed of Jesus Christ, the lovely Savior, as to the promised one, not as unto many, but He the perfect one, we're born again. Now we're memberships of His body in particular. And Adam all die in Christ. All are made alive. So then you're not in the flesh, because, as I said, Cornelius showed the corruption and how that the flesh lost it. But then the perfect one came, and that's how Jesus got the throne. He loved the Lord. They were confounded. They couldn't understand. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Stevie Beecher. Brother Steve Beecher, to come up here. Brother Steve's uncle was down visiting with us, his Uncle Dan. His mother's brother, wife. It's so wonderful to be a Christian, folks. It's so wonderful. There's nothing like being a Christian. We sing that song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. While Steve is praying with you, let's just thank God in our heart for our little brother and sisterhood here, for our little school, little piece of ground, a church, and a place to find peace. And let's esteem one another better than ourselves, love one another, seek one another's welfare, look on the things of another. Let's labor together that we might have this little piece of ground and place of worship for hours, to where nobody can bother us, and we can love Jesus and do what we want to away from the world. Help us, folks. A lot of people come in out among us, they don't care about it. They disdain it as to looking upon it, and they don't care about it, and they don't try to uphold it, and they reproach it, because it's not in their hearts as to love Christ and to love His place of abode, or to love the children of God and what He has given us as to the esteeming of it. Not to love it as a worldly thing, but as a thing of God, to care for it, to be concerned about it. Come and help us. Come and work with us. Do something, folks. Get yourself a vision, and then you won't walk in the flesh. You won't walk in the flesh. But if you always lay up your treasures as a home, as land, as money, as buying, as eating, as drinking, as fellowshipping, as visiting and with your family and whatever, and buying and selling, you know, you're in the flesh. You might as well acknowledge it. You're in the flesh. Like a man came to me today, he said, I might as well confess it. He said he was backslidden. Said he knew better than what he tended to do, what he did. He said, I need strength. Said, nobody knows what I've gone through. Said, I wanted to get back. I couldn't get back. You know, a lot of times you look on them and say, boy, look at them. But you don't know, they're tormented just about out of their mind. And he said, let's face the facts. Said he didn't have to do what he'd done. He said, a man that does the thing that I've done, said he couldn't be right with God. Said he's backslidden. And said, besides that, he said, a man does those things. He said, I did them because I didn't want to live right. Said that's what it was. But folks, look at the hundreds of people that was deceived by believing that he did. And look at the many people that thought that was right. And look at the problem that's caused you, families, and many others, and caused him and his family. See, when I told you all the time, and I tell you the same thing, it's among some of the people. And those that go out there and do those things, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, would they not have conformed to the way of the brotherhood? To love the brotherhood, to work with the brotherhood? Would they go out and say things against the brotherhood? Just running to and fro, trying to find money or gossip or backbite or do whatever? Or just get what they can out of the brotherhood as to the benefits? Were they going to do those kind of things if they were of the brotherhood? Of course not. They desire the brotherhood only in the sense of what the brotherhood can do for them. But let's love the brotherhood. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life because we love one another. See, this is your proof of eternal life. They don't have any proof of eternal life. They're very religious, but they don't have anything from God. They're very fleshly. See, but because you want to help your brother, work with your brother, love your brother, esteem your brother, do something to keep a home for the children. See, that proves your love, and that proves your eternal life. Okay, may God bless you tonight as our brother Stevie comes. Bless you.